You are listening to the You Got Jobbed podcast. This is episode 21. Hey, this is Suzanne Yeagley. Welcome to the You Got Jobbed podcast, kind of. I'm just going to, if you're new to the podcast, I just want to take 2 seconds and explain what the heck is going on. Sometimes I talk to people that I've interviewed for the McSweeney's website. Sometimes I talk to people I've never interviewed before, but I've found interesting. And then sometimes my friend Avril and I just get together and read one of the old interviews and talk about stupid shit. So this is one where Avril and I just ramble for a while. If you have a crazy job and want to ramble with me, I would love it. So contact me at suzanne@suzanneyeagley.com and hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks for listening.
Hey!
Welcome to the You Got Jobbed podcast. Oh, I didn't test the levels. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing the levels.
Oh my gosh.
Say count to 3.
1, 2, 3. Count to 3.
Okay. There, I turned her level up. All right. Today I have a smorgasbord of wonderfulness. I'm recording us on video.
Hey!
I don't know if it can see me on the video. And I have fun things. Before we get into the interview, I had a couple things that I wanted to cover.
Oh, I like this.
If you would open your paper, please, Avril.
The unveiling. I love it.
So this is a news article. You've probably heard it already, but I wanted to get into the details a little bit because I read it and I was like, hot damn, we got to cover this hot button issue. Anyway, we need music for this. Anyway.
Okay. Dun 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 dun.
That's the okay. Now go ahead.
That was terrible.
It was apt. You'll see when you read this.
Okay. Oh, am I supposed to read it?
Yeah, read it. I don't
have
a copy.
From CNN.
Yes, CNN.
It's been a rough week for United Airlines.
Wait, how did it goes? Right, news break. Okay.
Avril Watson reporting on the scene.
Nice.
CNN.
Okay.
It's been a rough week for United Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
Sure has. Amen to that. The same day a passenger was infamously dragged off a United plane in Chicago, a man on a United flight from Houston to Calgary was allegedly stung by what, Suzanne?
A scorpion!
A freaking scorpion!
You heard the story already, right?
I did hear it.
But
and I was like,
the details are
oh my god, I'm never going to fly United.
I know.
For sure.
There's snakes, there's scorpions.
I can't get stung by a scorpion twice in my life.
As she pauses to take this a red wine.
It stresses
break.
Me out so much I have to take a drink of wine.
Okay, so read a little bit of the detail, though, because it's interesting, I find it.
The venomous creature fell from an overhead bin and landed on Richard Bell's hair as he was eating lunch Sunday in his business class seat, according to his wife, Linda. And here's a photo
She's
of
like,
Richard.
That bitch should only
here's
eat.
A photo of Richard and Linda
yeah.
Bell. I'm
only
showing the
eat
video.
People in coach. How? Why scorpions? Why are you attacking people in business class?
I mean that
they deserve better.
It just really freaks me out that this kind of stuff could be on a plane because you know how sometimes I'll have flats on with
Who's
no socks.
Who's taking scorpions on a plane?
Well, I mean maybe it just crawled on. I mean,
no,
how,
I keep reading.
Oh.
Well, maybe not. Maybe it did.
You know what I mean?
Maybe
no, they were.
No, you're right. Maybe it hid
place.
In your goddamn purse. Read
and
it.
And you know I had a horny toad on a plane
read
one time
it.
And
what
it almost.
What the fuck
it almost,
are you talking about? You know I had a horny toad on the plane. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. You told me all about the horny toad on the plane.
Yeah.
How did you know? What's the difference between a regular toad and a horny toad now?
The horny toad has horns all over its back and lives
no,
in, like,
doesn't.
Hot places. It does. It has, like,
of
little
course.
Spikes.
I guess, sorry. I just thought it was a
yeah.
toad with
and they
a
live
libido.
In, like, hot climates versus maybe a wet climate.
Okay,
I don't know.
Sorry. So what?
We went on a family reunion trip. I went with my grandpa and my uncle, who's only like a year and a half older than me, so he's kind of like my brother, same age.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know, I was maybe 12 or 13, and it was in Bowie, Texas. And so, I mean, I had never met any of these cousins and whatnot before, and they kept talking about there's these horny toads, and they're, you know, some people use them as pets, and you can put a string around their neck and walk them. And I'm like, you guys are trying to pull my leg. Well, at the end, when we were getting ready to leave, they two cousins ran up and go, "We caught a horny toad for you, so you can take it home, and it's a piece of us."
Thanks,
and you know, we're like, and I was like, "Cuckoo, okay."
Ding, 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 ding. Wait, so you can hold it and it doesn't hurt your hands?
No, it won't hurt your hands. Okay. I think they can spit blood if they're mad or whatever, but I don't know if that's true. Anyways, so my uncle Jeff put it in this drawstring bag that we had carry on, and this is way before 9/11, so they don't check any of that stuff. So it was in the bag, and I looked down at one point on the trip, and all I could see were its little claws and eyes poking out of the top of the bag. And I was like elbowing my uncle who was sleeping.
Wait, it wasn't in another bag? It was like it in was just carry-on
it was in
peeking
his,
out?
Yes, it was in his carry-on bag that he put under the seat.
And not in another, it was just in the carry-on bag just, with his undies and toiletries.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, I think he just had like whatever, t-shirt or whatever, in there and like probably a video game or something. And I just elbow in. I'm like, "Oh my God, the horny toad, Jeff, it's trying to get out." And he had to push it down. And I thought, what if that thing
jumps out and
got loose on the plane? Anyways, I did bring it home, and it was our pet for a while, and it got out of the cage at one point, and it was lost for 3 days.
In your house?
Yeah.
Was this when you lived up in the woods or no? This when you lived in
a T-town.
Legit... Yeah.
This was in Tacoma.
Okay. All right, get back to the scorpion falling on his head. It fell on his head. After the scorpion story, I'm going to turn off the video.
Oh, okay. So this is from Linda Bell. She says, "My husband felt something in his hair. He grabbed it out of his hair and it fell onto his dinner table." Dinner table, like he's got a full
on. His tray
dinner
table.
The tray. "As he was grabbing it by the tail, it stung him."
What the... I'm sorry. "As he was grabbing it by the tail?"
Okay, why would you grab it by the tail, though?
That I would have just... I guess it's just instinct.
Yeah. I maybe would have just swatted at it.
Oh! But I guess if you flick at it,
push it onto someone else's tray. Yeah, that's exactly. Probably what happened.
Linda, here it comes. Is her name Linda? Anyway.
Yeah. She said her husband shooed the scorpion off his tray. Okay. So see, this is what I would do, too. "And it landed in the aisle, catching the attention of a nearby passenger who cried, 'Oh my God, that's a scorpion!'" It's not clear how the scorpion got on the plane. The airplane had flown to Houston earlier in the day from Costa Rica.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
See?
This is all making sense now, according to FlightAware, a flight tracking platform. The Bells were returning home from a vacation. Linda Bell said flight attendants quickly corralled the scorpion and flushed it down an airplane toilet.
And flushed it. You can't. People can't.
Do you know what would scare the bejesus out of me?
An airplane toilet.
What if you went to the bathroom and that thing jumped up and stung your butt?
What? I think they're a decent size, too. Oh, like,
that just gave me
the
willies.
See, I thought you'd like the details. Was that the end of it?
I didn't know the details. I just heard about it.
They flushed it down the toilet. These poor airplane hostess people have to deal with... What's the word for them? Jesus. Anyways,
I don't know. They're like, they have
airplane,
to go through a lot.
Airplane.
Flight attendants. What do you mean?
Flight attendants.
Yeah.
That's the word I couldn't think of. They have to go through
so much
shit.
And then she says, "Our flight attendants helped a customer who was stung by what appeared to be a scorpion on a flight last week," United said in a statement. "Our crew immediately consulted with a MedLink physician on the ground who provided guidance throughout the incident and assured our crew that it was not a life-threatening matter." United Airlines said medical personnel met the aircraft when it arrived in Calgary. According to Linda Bell, another passenger gave her husband a Benadryl pill in case he had an allergic reaction to the sting. Okay, where were these people when I got stung? Nobody was telling me what to do.
I just thought it was funny that he had such a... It was from Costa Rica and that it stung him. And that it
I mean, come on. Well, at least we know if it was Costa Rican.
Okay, I'm coming to turn it off. Here I come.
Here she comes. Yeah, at least we know if it was Costa Rican that it was not
Bye.
It wasn't poisonous.
I actually had room on my phone to record that. That's exciting. Yes, it wasn't poisonous. It was from Costa Rica.
Linda Bell said United reached out to her husband Wednesday to apologize and offer compensation for the incident. She would not elaborate on the terms of that compensation. Such incidents are rare, but not unheard of. A scorpion reportedly stung a woman in 2015 on an Alaska Airlines flight from Los Angeles to Portland, Oregon. Oh my gosh. Now every time I get on a plane,
I'm going to wear footy pajamas.
Well, that's
and
what
gloves.
I'm saying. I usually wear flats, and sometimes in the summer, I don't have socks on or
that's
anything
true.
Like that.
Yeah.
What if something's crawling around down there?
I always bring socks, but I'm always cold. That's why.
Right. Well,
okay. All right. The next thing we're doing. Don't look at it.
Oh my God.
Sorry. The next thing we're doing, don't look at yours. Did you just look at it?
Oh, it's okay.
Sorry. The next thing we're going to do. How is everyone today?
They cannot respond to you. Just FYI.
They're good. I can hear like, oh, that one guy's grouchy. That's the guy from work. I don't think he listens anymore. Aww. So it doesn't matter. It's just not his thing. It's not for everyone. So I'm going to give you some 80s trivia.
Yay!
I had to call out. There was this really good website. Of course, I forgot to put it on here. I wanted to make sure I called out to them. It's basically, if you search 80s movie trivia, it's the first thing that comes up. But I'll put it in the notes because I feel really bad. I meant to give them credit. Anyway, they had like 80 questions. So I came up with the top 18 that I thought we could actually get. Because some of them...
I feel like I... I'll probably get 50% of
Mike
them.
Mike got like all... He could name all of the Ghostbusters. Their full names. Like Peter Venkman. That's the only one I know. And then there's like four or five other ones.
I could not do that.
Yeah. Okay. In The Breakfast Club, what special talent... And you have to give the people a moment to consider the answer.
Okay. I won't blurt it out.
In The Breakfast Club, what special talent did Molly Ringwald have? That's long enough.
She could put lipstick on by putting it in between her boobs.
I totally forgot about that. And yes, this one's an easy one. What does Ally Sheedy use to decorate her picture?
Like her dandruff.
Yeah, that's so gross.
As snow.
Here's a Ghostbusters one. What was the license number on the Ghostbusters car?
Oh, I'm sure Mike knows, but
he did. He knew it.
I bet you as soon as you say it, I'll be like, oh, yeah, yeah.
No, probably not.
Oh, all right. I don't know.
It's Ecto-1.
Oh, yeah,
like
I do.
Ecto-1. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you remember
now? As
soon
as you say that. No, I knew it was something like that.
Ecto.
But I haven't seen Ghostbusters since it very first came out.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw part of it. I think we tried to take Lucy to it when she was like 3.
Oh.
She was scared shitless, so we had to leave the theater.
Bad parenting moment.
Yeah. My God, a million of them. Okay. Now I have two from Back to the Future. Where did Doc Brown get the plutonium? Hold on, I have to turn my microphone. Get the plutonium to power the time-traveling DeLorean?
He got it. He stole it from some group of people, like not
yes,
Iranians.
Yes. This
but...
is yes, exactly. Oh! No, not
oh,
Iranians.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's like a very 80s, an 80s problem group.
God, I don't know.
Libyan terrorists.
Oh, geez, that's right. I remember them in the parking lot.
Me too. That's exactly what I thought. Is there's just like shooting at him. You should get this one. What brand and color? Well, I didn't get the color. I don't think. What brand and color of underwear is Marty wearing?
Calvin Klein's.
Yes.
Were they gray or white? Now I don't know.
Purple.
Purple?
I know. Oh, Marty.
I guess it was. He was the 80s.
Oh, no. She called him Calvin. When am I going? Oh, Marty. Oh, Calvin.
Calvin.
That's what Calvin. That's so creepy that his mom. Okay. In Dirty Dancing, this is a hard one for me anyway. What was Baby's real name?
Oh, my gosh. I totally know this. Francis.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay, this is a random one. In 1989's The Little Mermaid, I figure you must know this, what was Scuttle's name for a fork?
A thingamajig.
No. It was a challenging one. It's not in the song, I don't think.
Flabbert something. Right. Something with an F and an L. I don't know.
It was a dinglehopper.
Oh, okay.
I know. He just had all those words that were... Anyway. Okay. Mike got this one, which I can't. Anyway, why don't we just call this episode Mike got that one.
Right.
In the 1984 movie Splash, the pretty blonde mermaid chooses which street name to be her own?
Madison.
My God. How did you know that?
Because I loved that movie.
She sees a sign marking Madison Avenue and she decides her name will be Madison. Now I understand the question. The way it was written, I didn't quite understand what that was. Okay, what singer had his one and only hit song in 1991? Oh, so this isn't 80s, but 1991, I'm sorry. What singer had...
A one-hit wonder.
Yeah, he had a hit song in 1991. He played a high school jock named Ricky in the 1989, no, in the 1987 movie, Can't Buy Me Love. He was a one-hit wonder, but he played a high school jock named Ricky in the 1987 movie Can't Buy Me Love.
Oh my God, I don't know who played that. I totally know that movie, and Patrick Dempsey is the main character. And I
never
can
thought
picture
he was
him.
Cute, by the way. Did you find him cute?
No.
And I know. And then he was, they call him McDreamy. I know.
He was okay on Grey's Anatomy, but he still has that nasally voice and all that stuff.
Did he do some dance? Okay, anyway.
Anyways, I can't think of the dude's name, but I can picture him in my mind.
You can? The guy who played Ricky?
Mm-hmm.
The jock?
Mm-hmm.
Rico Suave.
Oh, that was Rico Suave?
Gerardo Mejia.
Oh,
or
my
whatever.
Gosh.
Gerardo. Isn't that what people call him? Gerardo? It's probably Gerardo or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't speak Spanish, but yeah, that was him.
You learned something new.
That's the whole point of this segment that we're doing. Anyway, I have like maybe 8 more questions. In the movie The Goonies, what brand of candy bar did Chunk try to give to Sloth?
Oh, Henry?
No.
Oh, Charleston Chew?
No.
Baby Ruth!
Yes!
Duh! Oh my gosh, why did that take me 3 tries? I knew that 100%.
Mike did not get that one.
Okay. Baby Ruth. Gosh, damn it.
Now a couple three Ferris Bueller questions. In Ferris Bueller's Day Off, blah, 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 who plays the burnout at the police station that...
Charlie Sheen, come on, next.
This is an easy one, too. What's the principal's name?
Oh, my God, what? Rooney.
Yes, and his assistant?
Deb? No. Oh, I can totally hear him yelling at her. Grace!
I mouthed it. Who wrote Baby Got Back? Who sings Baby Got Back?
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yes, very good. I just threw that in there to see if you could get it.
I was like, that doesn't have anything to do with Ferris Bueller's
Day Off. We were talking
off.
About it at work today. We couldn't think of his name. I'm like, I could picture him clear as day.
I mean, he's from here.
I know.
Come on.
Seen him at Chop Suey. I saw him do like a thing. He was texting people on his cell phone like he's doing a show and he's texting people and he's like... He's basically talking about doing anal with somebody on the cell phone.
He's like
text to some woman like, baby, will you do anal with me? And she writes back like, sure thing, right away. And he's like showing everyone because he's so proud of it. It was the strangest. Okay, anyway. But
oh,
I couldn't
wow.
remember his name. Okay, last. This is an easy one. What alias does Ferris Bueller use to get into Chez Louis? Or maybe it's not Ferris.
Abe Froman.
Exactly. Who was who? What did Abe
Froman? The Sausage King of Chicago.
Of course. Abe Froman. Oh, this one, I'm going to skip. Well, this one's too easy. What does the lady in the cafe order after Sally finishes proving to Harry that he can't tell the difference between a real and a faked orgasm in When Harry Met Sally?
What does she order?
Like, what does the lady in the cafe order?
Oh, she says, I'll have what she's having.
Yes. This is another easy one. Here's a softball for you. In the movie 16 Candles, what was Sam's grandparents' exchange student's name?
Long Duck Dong.
Yes.
And it was so inappropriate because then they go, gong.
Lucy and I just watched that movie recently.
It's still one of my favorite movies, though. I could quote a bazillion lines
right.
from that
well,
movie.
Well, then tell me, what was the name of the guy she was after?
Jake Ryan.
Well,
hello,
I know
hottie.
Jake Ryan, I know.
Who makes furniture for a living now in real life.
He does.
Mm-hmm. Can't you just see him woodworking and carpentry?
Oh, my God. This is totally random, but my friend, she when they retire, so her and her husband have the discussion of, like, what are we going to do when we retire? And the husband says he's going to whittle.
Oh.
And he's never whittled ever before, but he's decided.
Well, remember that miniature show that we went to? That that dude just like was a professor in real life, right? And then all of a sudden he's a miniature furniture maker and seller. I don't know.
I don't even know if we can.
No.
Okay, yeah. We went to a miniature
it was very sad.
By the airport. Let's not. Okay. Okay, 3 more questions. In the 1983 movie, this is an easy one, National Lampoon's Vacation, where were the Griswolds headed on their cross-country
Wally
trip?
World.
In the movie Rain Man, what was the only airline that Raymond said had never crashed?
Oh, that's a tough one. Did Mike get this?
No, he guessed United first. And then Continental and then American. But no, it's none of those. It's an international flyer. I'll give you that.
Oh, I don't know.
You've probably flown it, actually.
Lufthansa.
No, but that's a good guess. What other hints?
Pan Am from back in the day.
No, this company is still in business. Their logo is an animal.
It's
an animal that jumps.
Oh, American?
No.
Oh, an animal. Well, I was thinking American before you said the jumps. An animal. A kangaroo. Oh, it's Qantas.
Yes. I know. Isn't that, now you can kind of picture him a little bit saying like Qantas never crashes. Something like that. Maybe. I don't know. Sorry, does
probably.
It seem like what he would say? Okay. And then this last one, Mike knew this too. I don't know why. What Cheers actor was in The Empire Strikes Back?
Oh, I mean, I know Woody Harrelson is in one later on.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I thought he was in one.
In a Star Wars movie?
Like recently, I thought. Am I thinking of Hunger Games?
Hunger Games. You're thinking of Hunger Games.
No, I know 100% he's in Hunger Games. So I swear to God, I saw a thing that said he was going to be in one, but maybe I read the wrong thing.
I don't know.
Anyways, okay, let's think. In Empire Strikes Back... It wasn't the dude that plays Frasier, is it?
I can't say. What's his name?
Oh my God, why Kelsey Grammer?
Okay, no, it's not him.
I don't know.
Well, there's only a few more people who work at the bar.
Or work at the bar.
No, was he it doesn't the main... work. He doesn't work at the bar. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. So it was like Norm or somebody like that. So it was either the dude who plays the mailman, what I can't think of his name, and he's in every Disney animated movie. Cliff Clavin?
Yes.
I don't know his real name. I can't think of it.
I love you. You mean Cliff Clavin?
As soon as you say it, I'll know. I'll be like,
John Ratzenberger.
Oh,
that
geez.
Doesn't sound right to
no,
you.
I mean, I've heard that name before, but that's not what I was thinking his name was.
Yeah, I can kind of picture him wearing one of those like cozy outfits that they wore. Because it was, the Empire Strikes Back was like the snow one.
I mean, I think I saw Empire Strikes Back when I was 10. Yeah, and that was the last time I saw it. So I didn't even know.
So you didn't know Cheers
then.
No. It didn't exist. All right. How many Cheers people, who else? Oh,
well, Shelley Long played, what's her name?
Diane.
Yes. And then, who played Sam? What's his name again?
Ted Danson.
Yes.
Who played?
Rhea Perlman.
Yes. Did you know she got divorced from Danny DeVito?
Oh, that makes me sad.
I don't know how long ago, but
them.
I thought they were the perfect couple.
I did too.
I know. People are like, if we want to get anyone between the ages of 20 and 30 to listen to this, we have failed.
We have.
Miserably.
You need to do like trivia from 2000s.
What? Yeah, but then I could.
And I won't get any of them.
No, me neither.
I'd be like, who's Fetty Wap? What the heck are you talking about?
Oh my God. I didn't know who Fetty Wap was.
I need a refill.
Oh, hold on, everyone. I have to fill up Avril's wine.
Pause for wine refill. You can continue to talk.
All right. Let's see. Fetty Wap.
Oh, did you hear that? Doink.
Take
here, listen. Clunk, 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 clunk.
Avril does it every time she pours wine. She has to make a...
I do not. Okay. So that's taken care of. Wine refill complete.
That's it. That's the pod for today. Okay.
All right. We're allowed to go to the next page.
Yes, now we're going to the interview part of the thing.
You're not gonna yell at me now.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh! Jackie Watson on Calling Bingo. This is my mom.
Yay.
Oh, God.
I
hope it's
a happy day surprise.
Exciting. I can make it exciting because I can just interject all these stories about my mom, but it might be a boring interview.
I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
When was the last time you played bingo?
I don't remember the year.
But have you been to like a bingo hall?
Me, yes. In fact, me, my mom, and my sister, I don't know, we were having like a girls' night, I'll say 7 years ago. And we decided to go play bingo. So we went to the place in Fife, that big one that says BJ's Bingo or whatever. And it is serious. Like I'm sitting here thinking, take a piece of a popcorn kernel and stick it on the thing. No. We had to become members, so we had to go buy, like, a membership. We had to get our photo taken for a membership ID card.
Yes.
And then there was only one little no smoking section, so we had to sit in that section.
Oh.
You weren't allowed to bring your drinks down there, and everyone had, like, 20 cards with all... We were trying to, like, laugh and have fun, and people were like...
silent, right?
They shushed us.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is not...
It's not what
fun
you
and
think.
It's stressful. I was like sweating. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know where this is. Too many cards. I don't know what to do. They're going so fast.
Yep, totally. It's not what you think. It's not what it should be. We should open one that's like a fun bingo hall.
Well, we just need to go to Gay Bingo. They have those like up on Capitol Hill. I think it's fun and it's what we would expect. And I did go one time, actually, in the year when it turned 2000, Y2K, because I went with my gaytourage up to...
New Year's?
Yep. We went to Oregon Coast for New Year's. And we were in, what, Astoria? No, that's not right. It was by Cannon Beach, but down a little
Bannon.
Bit.
Not Bannon.
I don't know. Anyways, we were on
Oregon. That's another
Bandon
is like on the coast.
That's
anyway.
Not where we were. No. And we were just tooling around the town of where we were staying, and we found this little bingo hall, and we all, you know, all 12 of us or whatever go in there, and we had the best time.
Wow.
Like, it was such an eclectic crowd and old people and young people.
Oh,
and
I want that.
I think we did have daubers, but
wasn't. Yeah, but that's fun.
You're in, like, a very well-lit room, and you're in, like, some community hall.
If you can laugh and talk, that's my primary thing. I mean, they put the numbers up on the board, like, they light them up. So it's not like, and plus, it's not like if you lose, you know, people are so...
Just doing it for fun, but these people are hardcore. They go like every night or every week or...
Can I tell you what I was doing on Y2K?
What?
For people who don't know, that was when the year 2000 came.
And like, everyone was panicked.
We were all like, oh, the clocks are going to stop and the world's going to end. And but it didn't. That took another 17 years. Holy shit, that was 17 years
ago. I know.
Ago.
Oh my God, we're so old.
Oh my God. All right, so what I did that night, I worked at Microsoft that night because we had to deploy scripts on domain controllers all over the world because we were so scared that like that there was going to be a virus or something. So I basically was there. I remember she let me leave around 10 o'clock that night. So I wasn't there for midnight. But at 10 o'clock that night, most of the world, you know, we're on the West Coast. Most of the world had already had New Year's and nothing had happened. So it was like...
So you already knew.
Oh, the East Coast already had New Year's. No
financial institutions didn't
like
shut down.
Didn't suddenly close. Oh.
Well, I mean, it was that whole. I mean, it's all what Office Space is about, right? Like their main job is, have to
for
do
the
this
Y2K
because
switch. That's right,
because they only gave it two numbers instead of four numbers, and it's gonna roll back over.
Yeah. I think that's my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, it's in my top 10 for sure.
Yeah, I went to see it with Matt Dourisoff. I think
you did.
Oops, I just said his name. Hey, shout out to him. Hey, I haven't talked to him in 20 years. All right. All right, Jackie. So Jackie, just to clarify, she said it. Jackie is Avril's mom, and her mom we used to call Bingo. So I interviewed her at one point in 2004, actually. I said, when were you a Bingo caller?
I don't remember the year. Let me think.
Were you in your 30s? Your 40s?
In my 30s.
And so in 2004, she was probably what, in her 50s, your mom? 50s, 60s?
She's 67 now.
Oh, so she was 50. Because that's 17 years ago. Yeah. Oh, no, she was 54. God, 54 seems so young.
Oh, yay.
Well, it does to me now. It did when I was 25.
I know, it's like it sounds ancient to me.
54 is retirement.
I don't want to turn 54.
Me neither, but it's coming. All right, was it at church or a town hall? Or?
It was at a regular bingo hall.
How often did you work there? This is exciting.
Oh my gosh, you know what? I mean, honestly, this is intriguing to me because I remember her working there, but I don't remember
all
this. She would come home and practice. And her one thing that she would always say is B3. And me and my sister, for some reason, it would just make us laugh and we would die laughing. And now anytime we say anything, it's like the joke, right?
You still
like,
say B3.
Yeah. She'll say, what's the number on that card? And I'll go B3.
All right. How often did you work there, Jackie?
5 days a week. I worked a split shift. I would start at 10, I think, and get done around 2. Then I'd go home, make dinner, and go back to work from 6 to 10. Wow, I really don't remember this as a child. I don't remember my mom working from 6 to 10 at night. That's crazy. I only worked there a short time because I couldn't handle it anymore. Oh, okay. Now we're getting down to it. This is why I don't remember. It was probably a short stint. It was the same people every day, mostly older people who didn't have much to do. regulars who had their own places to sit and everything.
That's going to be us someday.
I know. I can totally see in my Golden Girl moments. Yeah. Just being like, oh, I'm going to go get my bingo bag and get all my daubers.
Did I tell you about the, that Mike saw this shirt the other day that says, Dorothy in the streets, Blanche in the sheets.
I read your newsletter.
Oh, yeah.
So I read it.
That. Yeah, yeah.
And then I was over. So I have a friend at work. She also has an awesome podcast. And she's a huge Golden Girls fan. She has a whole bathroom that's all dedicated. It's, and you would never picture this person.
What way in the bathroom?
It's just decorated and it has like all Golden Girls memorabilia. Mm-hmm. So she has a toilet seat cover, but it's like all
they
very.
They have a toilet seat cover?
You know what? It doesn't look tacky at all. She showed me pictures and it actually looks really cool. It's just very kitschy and nostalgic and like something you would see at like a Hollywood restaurant or something. It's not just a bunch of crap.
Never seen a Golden Girls toilet seat cover, but I need to have one.
I'm pretty sure she has one, and she has like little dolls that are knitted and they're on a shelf, and I don't know, it's put together very tastefully. I love it. Anyways, me and her and another girl at work love the Golden Girls, and like we reference it all the time. She's a bigger fan than me, but still. And so I was over in that row, and I was talking to somebody else next in the cube next to her, and I said, oh my gosh, guess what? I just got a newsletter, and my friend put this quote at the end. And she goes,
She's heard it.
Yep.
She's got
it. No, I mean, she was yeah, of course she's heard it. Yeah, but she was just impressed that you used it. She's like, aha. Like,
well, I was looking. There's like mugs and T-shirts. I was trying to figure out the right way to express that sentiment. Anyway, we're totally going to be playing bingo when we're older. Like, I could see.
As long as it's
if
not
I didn't
stressful.
Have a job, I would. Yeah, you're right. It's probably. But you probably get used to it. Maybe not. Maybe it's always stressful.
Then it's just going to feel like a job if you're there every day.
Fuck that. Who wants a job? How did you get the job, Jackie?
Through my cousin. She was the manager. In fact, I think she's still the manager. I'm not sure.
Wow. Do you think
well, in 2004, still, I guess it still existed. Yeah.
Was the bingo calling thing electronic or was it one of those? God, what a great question. My vocabulary is so limited. Was the bingo calling thing electronic or was it one of those big things with balls in it? Like a cage, I think. Right?
It was the big thing with balls in it. I didn't like being up on stage with the popper machine. See, my mom didn't know either. She called it the popper machine.
Why didn't you like it?
When you drop the balls into the holder thing, you always had to make sure that none of the balls got stuck. One time, I didn't hear a ball that got stuck, and I had to stop the whole game and drop the balls all over again. People were mad at me. It's in caps. They were very serious. Oh, here she goes. She's talking about it. She says, I think B3 was the ball that was stuck.
She probably just threw that
she
in there
did.
For you.
They were pretty close to bingoing. There's a term for you. And so they were mad. I had been there about 3 to 4 months when it happened, and I wanted to do a good job for my cousin. I thought, oh no, I failed. And she was in her office and came running out when she heard me re-drop the balls. I was very embarrassed. This is probably why my poor mom had to quit. It was like so stressful.
Well, and I just imagine all the old ladies just jumping up and pouncing on her.
Probably some of them had umbrellas and were probably poking at her. You
I was
know?
Picturing canes, but yes, umbrellas, I guess.
I just picture those umbrellas that had the pokey end, you know, the really long ones that turn into a bubble or whatever.
Not a cane, huh?
I don't know. Cane didn't come to mind for some weird reason.
How long did you stay there?
Oh, she was there longer than I thought. 1.5 or 2 years.
Did you ever go to bed at night and dream about bingo?
Yes. I just didn't like to get up and call bingo. Mostly I would walk around and sell the paper games, and I would sell the sliding cards. This was before they had all of the paper cards. They had sliding cards where you slid the little windows over the squares, and people would take a long time to pick them. They were very particular. Sometimes I worked at the snack bar, and I sold pull tabs. We rotated around. Okay, I remember this now. This is what my mom would practice. She would give me and my sister, we'd be sitting on the couch, these cards with the little sliding windows.
Aww.
And then she would do the little thing, and then she would pull out the ball and call it. But see, all that practicing didn't work because then my mom did it once and screwed up. So then she got yelled at. So she probably never did it again.
When's the last time you did pull tabs?
I Probably a couple of years ago, but I never
do them. I forgotten what they were. And then I did them in Redmond at Palmer's, it's called. Anyway, there's a place sort of on the east side where, and I just keep spending more and more money and you don't win anything.
I never do it. But I have friends who win all the time. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't. People. It's like a waste of money in my mind.
So the people who played bingo there were pretty dedicated.
People would sit in their usual seats, and if someone was in their seat, they would tell them to move. You could see us. Yeah. We'd be like, that's my
this
spot. Get
where
out.
The three old biddies sit
yep,
together.
Yep, I'm here every night, you old biddy. I had to calm down some of them. You could almost walk down the aisles and know everyone's name. These were serious, little, elderly people.
Oh, sorry. There's the next two lines are just a typo. Did anyone ever call bingo by accident?
Sometimes they did. Like, if they were really close and they accidentally covered one spot, then everyone else muttered at them, ah, you didn't have bingo, they'd say. You would think they would get more mad, actually. Or they're probably happy because...
Yeah, they're like, they thought they lost.
Oh, now I still have a chance.
Oh, these old people are tiring me out. What kind of prizes did they have?
Usually they were $20, $50, $100. There were huge ones that were $500 or $2,000, and if you're calling, the winner might give you a big tip. Hmm. I remember one time this girl won a jackpot, and she wanted to give me $50.
Did you take it?
Yep. I took that tip. We were allowed to.
Were there any callers that you would say were better than the others?
There were a couple of girls. One was really good. She was just laid back and really comfortable up there.
I could see doing that. I could see calling, maybe.
It doesn't seem that hard. I mean,
I know we say that, but
I know, but it, I guess it's stressful.
I don't know. What was the best part of the job?
Talking to all the people. There were quite a few characters. There was one woman, she was 80 years old, and I'd pick her up on my way to work and take her with me. Oh my God. I'm learning something new about my mom right now.
This lady lives in your basement now.
I know.
Like, lived there for 20 years and you've never seen her.
She was a real spitfire. I knew when she was doing bad because she'd say, what the hell? What the hell? And you could hear her across the room. They would tell her to shh, but it was just her way of doing it.
That would be me. Except I'd be saying, what the fuck?
Probably. I know.
Do you ever go to play bingo now?
Hardly ever. It doesn't thrill me. I was never really into it that much. I never in a million years thought I'd work in a bingo hall. It just happened.
It just happened. Maybe that's what I should rename the column. It just happened.
It just happened.
Did you ever, I don't know. I was just thinking about the fact that she's like, I was never into it. Like, one time I worked at a barbecue joint and I was a vegetarian. Like, but the reason I did, it was called Betty Sue's Urban Barbecue.
Oh.
And it was in the U Village. And I was looking
here?
For. Yeah, yeah.
Oh
I was looking for an extra job. I had just moved here and I wanted to get a couple jobs to try to, like, you know, have some money. And, yeah, I walked by it and I was like, Betty Sue's Urban Barbecue, done. Like, I was at a point in my life where I definitely would go somewhere specifically because of the name of it. Uh-huh. Like, when I was in college and I graduated and, well, did I ever tell you about how I found the job in Utah, that I worked at this lake in Utah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was like, I called that number, that Park right. ARA, and they said, do you want to work at Bullfrog Marina? And I was like, yes, that's the
that
best
sounds amazing.
Name. Yeah. So it was, yeah. Anyway.
Betty Sue's Urban. I've had a ton of jobs that people just got for me because they worked there themselves. And one of them was a little, I was a waitress at a retirement home, like, restaurant thing. I mean, I guess it was just, I don't want to call it a cafeteria because it wasn't. It was more like a restaurant, but, you know, it's very set meals. Like, they don't get to pick
right,
from
right.
a menu or anything. And that was very interesting. And the little old people, they were so cute. Like, some of them were so cute. And they would pat your knee or whatever, like, oh, honey, you know. But then there were some cranky ones. So you'd walk up and, you know, every single night they'd go, we want whole wheat bread. And I'm thinking, I know. I see you every night. And you say the same thing. Or this one cute little lady and she'd go, no potatoes. Like, she just did not want the potatoes. But the funniest part about that whole job is that the main lady who, like, introduced me to the whole entire group, you know, everybody's sitting down for their dinner. And I don't know, there were four different stations, so you would always get like a couple of rows. So there had to have been like 10 rows in there. So it's, you know, tables of four. It's totally packed. She gets up on stage and introduces me. This is our new server. Her name is Avon. Oh, and so everyone was calling me Avon. Oh. And I just laughed because
I mean, how long did you do that job?
Oh, it was just a summer job. You know, yeah. I was in high school. Yeah, it was probably like one of my first jobs I ever had.
I had a grandma who lived in a nursing home for like 15 years. And because basically her husband died. You know, my grandpa died, and she just kind of was like, that's it for me. And she went and stayed in the nursing home, and we would go visit her, and she would go.
We want whole wheat bread?
No, close. She would say, I don't want any more goddamn Jell-O. Or I think it was goddamn Jell-O or goddamn pudding. It was one of those two.
Well, they probably give it to you every meal.
Oh, God. That would be I don't know. Although I'm sort of at a point in my life, I don't know, where it would be nice to have someone just
do it
even
for
if
you.
I just but I guess if it was really shitty, like I think I'd be okay eating sort of the same things at least for a month.
I don't want a retirement home. I want one of those active communities for active seniors. Oh, where they do trips, they go to the mall, they go, like, in fact, where was I was just somewhere and we had to wait.
There's a place right forever down the street here that's an and we see ambulances there.
Oh no.
All the time.
That would be No, I mean this is a thing where it's like you have your own town house, home, or whatever.
Yeah.
But then if you fall and you can't get up, you can push the button, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's all these activities that you can do. I could see myself living in a place like that.
Yeah, well, I always thought, like, when me and you and Raylene, like, I always thought, like, we'll be playing Rummy Cube. But I pictured the weather being nicer. Like, the weather here is not retirement-type weather.
That's why we got to be Golden Girls and move down to Florida.
I know, but
Florida just seems awful.
How about California, maybe?
Yeah, California's more our speed.
Yeah, probably couldn't afford it, but
that's why you all live in the same house, Golden Girls style.
Oh, my God, no, I'd kill you guys. Don't you think we'd kill each other? If we all lived in the same house?
Well.
No?
We have our own wing.
Yeah, there'd have to be some sort of attachment between the areas of the thing. What else is new?
I don't know. I'm just having a tough week. It's only Tuesday. I'm turning into Evril, the evil Avril. I have this pitchfork at my desk. It was a prop for something, and somebody was like, we should use this and punk somebody and do something with it. And so we just kept it around, and it always just ended up at my desk. I don't know why. Maybe it was a hint. And we just put it in between, like, our cubes. And sometimes if people walk up and they make us mad, when they leave, we pick it up, and we go, and we come away. So today, I totally wanted to do that to somebody, but I couldn't. And so I'm just looking forward to this week being over.
I'm trying to think if I was going to say, are you reading any books or have you seen what TV shows are you watching or movies?
I watch crap TV. It's embarrassing to say. I watch a ton of reality shows, but I also watch Scandal, and this last episode wasn't that great, but the episode before, holy smokes. Like, I'm not going to do a spoiler alert, but if you watch it, I mean, I just remember at the end I was going,
how many seasons are there? I think I'm too late. How many seasons?
I don't know. I think we're on season 5 or 6. Yeah. Well, it was just the 100th episode.
Oh, boy.
They just did a 100th episode thing in an alternate,
that's a lot of episodes.
Yeah. So it's definitely been a lot of years. I just binged watched, like, 3 seasons in a row and caught myself up, and then now I've been watching it the last couple of years.
All right, we should let people out of their misery. I feel terrible.
Why do you feel terrible? We did all that 80s trivia, that was fun, and we talked about someone getting stung by a scorpion.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess you're not into it. It's your podcast, Suzanne. You should be a little bit more excited about it.
I don't know what to do. We can talk and we can cut this out if it just is garbage. I am torn because right now, every other week, I'm talking to someone who I interviewed.
Right.
And I enjoy it. But I don't know if anybody else in the world enjoys it. But I guess that doesn't matter when it comes down to it. As long as I'm having a good time, like,
that's right.
If it happens and people listen, great. If not,
well, great. And it takes time to get listeners.
And it doesn't even, I mean, does it matter if I don't know. I'm going to start sending the book proposal out. So, and for people who, if anybody, who, I don't know, I'll just explain it briefly. It's like we took the interviews and we took pictures of people and we're putting it into a book. So I'm going to start sending it out to agents, trying to get an agent for it. So that's sort of how this whole podcast started, was because of the book. So, yeah, I don't know.
So just keep doing it. Just keep at it. And then, you know, you'll get more listeners here and there. And eventually,
I think like everybody and their dentist has a podcast now, though. It's every.
For sure.
Everything.
It's like everybody
has
a YouTube channel. Everybody has a podcast. Everybody's got something, but
we probably need to do something where like you and I get those outfits that have like wings, and then we jump off of my balcony and do some sort of stunt where you fly.
Base jumping something?
Yeah. Like, is that what they are? You know, where the people look like
bats. And then carry a sign behind us.
Have you seen? I saw some Bryant Gumbel. Exactly. I saw some sort of Bryant Gumbel show or one of those kind of things, like the 30 for 30 or something about people doing that. Is it called base jumping when they like fly? They have outfits and they fly. I don't know if that's quite what it's called.
I mean, there
it could
is
be.
Base jumping, but then that is, I know what you're talking
like
about.
Aerial insanity.
Yeah.
I don't know. But they jump. They look like a flying squirrel kind of
thing.
Oh, totally. And they'll be like, oh, I get more and more addicted to it. And I try to go through a really small space.
That just seems crazy.
They do. A lot of them make it through, you know, like they turn sideways.
They have to, because if they
if you just even nick your pinky fingernail.
No joke, it's gone.
Yeah. No, it's not that. They die. Like, basically, it whips you. You're flying so fast. You're going like 60 or 80 miles an hour. Who the hell knows? You're flying through the air.
It's crazy.
And if you just get a little bit ticked to the side, you just whip into the rock and you're dead. Like, they interviewed like, I think it was this woman who, like, you know, two of her husbands had died doing it.
Two?
And she does it herself, and so does her husband's, and she has a baby with the one, you know, and he died doing it. It's like, but she's like, yep, we'll keep
we
doing it.
We died doing what we like, love.
I know. I'm like, you have a kid now. I don't know. But I don't even want to go out after 8 p.m. because I don't want to. I'm like, it's not that. It's not that I don't want to die.
Like, I don't even want to go outside after 8 because it's scary out there, let alone.
No, I'm not that bad. But I do. I was thinking of getting one of those, like, it looks like a cat. It goes on your knuckles. It's like it's four rings that basically looks like rings. And then on each one is like a spike. So you just slide it in your purse, you slide it on your hand so that if you're walking down the street late at night and somebody fucks with you, you just
it's
like,
the fancy version of what we used to do in college where you put your keys between each finger.
Yeah, I still do that too, yeah.
I don't do a damn thing. I just walk around, do-do-do. I hope nobody tries to attack me.
Do you know who we saw the other day? Do you remember that guy, Hamburger Harry? Do you know who I mean?
The dude that would scream
at
people?
Yes.
I thought he maybe died because I haven't seen him in so long.
No, I know. And I can't remember where we were. I think we were in the international district, and he walked up and
hey!
Instead of just,
hey!
Exactly. So this guy, so this dude, the reason we called. I'm going to get fucking, well, the five people who listen to this are going to be disgusted by me, but they called him Hamburger Harry because he hung out by Lunchbox Laboratory, and he's fucking huge.
He's super tall.
And his voice is really dark, deep, and he comes up to you and he just goes, "Give me some money." Like, he's really frightening.
He's aggressive.
He's aggressive, and he's huge. He could just crush you. I mean, he's like 6.5 feet tall. Anyway, one time I was like reaching in my purse right when he like pounced on me, and I gave him $20 because I was so horrified, and he didn't even register it. He took the money, but it didn't register to him that that was money, I don't think.
Yeah.
Even though he was like, "Give me money." Right. And I was like, "Here." And he just was like,
it.
He was like, okay. Like, he didn't even register that I just gave him 20 goddamn dollars.
Yeah.
Anyway, we saw him the other day and he was more lucid. So I'm like,
that's
something.
Good.
He had his hair cut, and he said to us, like, "Hey, you guys got some money?" Instead of like, "Give me some more money."
Right.
Like, and so I was like, "Whoa, it's crazy. It's just crazy that anyway,
I know.
Taking a dark turn.
I know.
But he's looking better.
That's good.
Let's spin it in the bright way that this dude who just hangs out is
that
happier.
Makes me happy. Yeah, I was worried because I mean, you there. there's certain people that are always in our neighborhood, and then when they're gone, you get a little bit worried.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that lady who used to be out in front of the police station all the time with
her
luggage. You with the black backpack. And she had this journal that she would just spout things out at
you. She was standing in front of the police station, and she was sort of pointing at the sky and saying, "I have this list of demands, right?"
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you passed her by,
you with the black bag. And the dark shoes.
And so Lucy's bus stop was right there. So every day we would like watch this lady like ranting at the world. And then one day she wasn't there anymore. And you're like, where did she go?
I know. It makes you a little bit worried.
Did you ever see, there's a petite Asian woman who looks kind of totally normal. But she carries a spray bottle and like.
Sprays people?
She sprays things more. Like I saw her in 7-Eleven. She was spraying like the thing and then wiping it off.
Like she's disinfecting. Like she thinks it's like a cleaner.
Yeah, but everywhere she was doing it, like on the street.
Yeah.
Like just,
germaphobe.
There's another lady who was like middle of winter, was over here with no shoes on. Just every day I'd see her on the corner, no shoes on. And it was freezing. I was just like, oh, sweetie.
You just want to save them all.
Did you hear that Rick Steves gave a $14 million apartment to the YMCA to house homeless people?
No.
I don't know about Rick Steves. Like, I don't find him that interesting. I think it's great that he's like really open about smoking pot. And I'm just like, Rick Steves, way to go. But he apparently... he wrote this thing. I don't know. It made me cry a little bit. He like said, you know, he was like, he said two things. He was like, instead of just like, you know, putting money in account and saving for my retirement, I wanted to do something sort of a little more helpful to the people in my community. Because he lives up in like Linwood or Shoreline or something. And he's like, over the years, he's put money into like apartment buildings instead of into retirement. Mm-hmm. And, what was that? He wanted to help people in his community, and he said something else that was really sweet. Anyway, he bashed sort of the government. You know, he was like, instead of just raging about the government being shit, he's like, I wanted to actually do something. So he gave, it's for this center that basically puts homeless women and their children back to work.
Oh, nice.
And it's housing for them while they get back on their feet.
I love it.
I know. It was really sweet.
They have one just down here, too.
They're everywhere.
They're eventually going to tear that down and put an Amazon building up or something. Yeah. But I think for 2 years, it's going to be...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like temporary.
I heard that one.
But at least it's something.
Yeah,
you know?
This one right here. So they... Now, I don't want to give people my address. But anyway, they're the... the place right down there that where they can shower, homeless people can shower and do their laundry like every day. This morning at 6:30 in the morning, there's a dude down there just screaming his head off. Ugh. And I went out to like, I finally got out of bed and just went over and like looked down and I can't see him. I don't know who is doing that.
Shh, be quiet.
Because I watched this documentary actually. This is another really interesting thing. Now I'm just rambling, but I don't care. I watched this documentary about this woman in Manhattan, or Queens maybe, in the 70s, who the story was she was screaming. She was being attacked right in front of the apartment building. And it was one where all the windows faced the street.
I think you were telling me
this
story.
Yeah. And people didn't say anything. And if they had, she would have been saved. Because basically, he attacked her. Somebody kind of yelled something. So he ran off. She drug herself around the corner and into the doorway to try to drag herself up to her apartment. And he came back in the doorway and killed her in the doorway.
Oh, my gosh.
But if somebody had just... And the story was that she just died alone, but that wasn't actually what happened. Like, somebody... by the time somebody had told somebody and they ran out, she had already been killed in the doorway. Or she was dying. They held her while she died in the doorway.
Oh my.
Anyway, but I think about that all the time now because whenever
I hear... freaking me out. I walk around by myself all the time.
Well, you gotta I'm taking a self-defense... I took a self-defense class a few weeks ago. I'm taking another one in a few weeks. And I keep... like just thinking about like you got to assess the situation all the time.
I'm very aware of my surroundings. Come on.
All right.
I'm like constantly looking
around.
Well, I do. No, I mean, that was just kind of a joke. But I mean, I don't have anything with me. I don't have pepper spray. I don't have whatever that thing is you're talking about. I just kind of do. Okay. But I pay attention.
Yeah.
And I always walk where all the street lights are
yep,
and stuff
yep,
like that.
Me too.
But At the same time, I could be more safe, but I just figure if someone's going to attack me and kill me, well, then I guess that's how I'm going to go.
She didn't say that. People who are listening, that's not an invitation to.
No, definitely not an invitation, but I just feel like I'm as aware as I can be, and I try to be safe. I mean, I Uber and Lyft a lot, and now it's just Lyft, but, you know, in the summertime, I'll walk home a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
I left this. Did I tell you I went to the show on Saturday night and I left because I hated it so much?
No.
I did not hate it. But so we went out and we had a couple drinks and then we went to see the new pornographers at the Moor. I don't know if you've heard of them. Anyway, so we went. I shouldn't even say that. There's so many people who love the new pornographers. So no offense to any of you. I just could not. I had a little bit to drink. And the opening band was really good, but they turned the lights down and the music was so soothing and soft that I started falling asleep. And I was like, I got to get out of here. I'm going to fall asleep. And then
it was on a weeknight or a weekend?
It was on Saturday night.
Oh, no.
And like by 9, the band comes on at like 9:15. I listened to 3 songs. I was like, I got to go.
I'm out of here.
I just walked home by myself. So I couldn't. Anyway, I know I'm getting old, but then I came home and I was like hanging out for a while.
Weeknight, that makes more sense because I remember when John Bailey and I went and saw. Oops, sorry, I just said his whole name. But
oh, we gotta cut. I'll cut it out.
Anyways, we went to a concert at the Showbox, and it was on a Tuesday, and the main band did not come on.
Oh, they don't go until 10 or 10:30?
Almost 11 o'clock, and we were there so long, and I was thinking, I gotta get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. This is baloney. When is this stinking band gonna come on?
Yeah, it's bullshit. Here's, Mike invites me, we go to shows, he wants me to go to shows. He goes to shows all the time, and then I go once in a great while if I really like the band. But here's what I was bitching about on Saturday night, was like, in this case, no offense to these people, it's every band is this way. But in this case, the opening band had 2 members in it. They brought their guitar. They walked out with their guitars. They played, right, and they walked off the stage. The main band had like 8 people in it and had like a full.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck takes so long? You come out, the 2 people who play, you drag their guitars out, sing, 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 walk off the stage. Start the next band. What is this 20-minute intermission? Check, 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 check. No, fucking start now.
They got to set up all their equipment.
No. Well, that's what the...
It's not just like this
when
where it's one little
board.
When I was
at home in the afternoon, that's when they should have been checking their equipment. When I show up and the clock is ticking on my evening out, you need
it's
to
like
start
It's like when Madonna was here,
band.
What, 3 years ago? And she did not go on until like... She didn't even start till like 10:30 or something. And it was a weeknight.
I guess
she earned her stripes and she has the right to be a diva. But I was just like yawning and yawning. And I'm like, oh my God, I got to drink a Red Bull or something. And then the thing is, you get home at, you know, by the time you get home through all the traffic and everything,
it's like
1:30 in the morning. And you can't go to sleep right away. I can't shut my brain down that quick.
And your ears are ringing.
Yeah. And all the songs are stuck in your head and they're just going over and over in your head. And you eventually get to sleep at 3 and then your alarm goes off at 5 and you got to go work? No.
Hey, what's a Tacoma Dome?
We're not 20 for crying out loud.
What's a Tacoma Dome like as a venue?
Oh, it's kind of crappy, I think, if I recall. I mean, that was the first concert I ever went to was at Tacoma Dome. Was that Prince.
Oh, my God.
Purple Rain Tour. But what did I know about acoustics back then?
Then
I don't think I've been to, I can't even remember the last show I went to. Oh, I think it was Justin Timberlake. Like back in 2008 or something. 2007.
Oh.
I don't know. Whenever he had that sexy back.
I feel like somebody I know that I was like, huh, they're coming to the Tacoma Dome. And I was like, oh, I'm not going down there. But
there's some pretty good bands that come there. Whatever. I think.
Maybe it was like Poison and Tesla.
I was going to say, no, they definitely have like some 80s. Rock bands that come there sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I think Van Halen, you know, stuff like that. But all the big acts go there because it holds a lot more people than Key Arena. So like Lady Gaga, Bruno Mars, they all go there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, what? No.
I know.
I'm going to drive down to Tacoma.
You should do more of concerts at Safeco. Like I went to Billy Joel there. It was good. Now I'm showing everybody I'm an old lady. I went to Billy Joel. Oh. All right.
All right.
Well, another happy podcast ending. I was telling Avril that I liked the ending the last time, even though it was so miserable.
I told her to edit it, and she refused.
That's right.
I said, it is boring as all get out. You need to cut that out.
Well, the Preston interview that I loved, I spent like 5 hours editing that.
Well, that's ridiculous.
I don't ever want to do that again. I know. And so I have two extremes, not editing or editing the shit out of something, I guess. I don't know. I loved Preston.
You got to find your happy medium in your editing world.
I think I'm just going to, yeah.
Okay. All right. And we're out.
Okay. What's our ending? Come up with an ending.
Don't put me on the spot like that. It's your podcast. You come up with an ending. I'm just the sidekick.
Okay. Bye.